Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, on Mystery Inc. and Psychological Productions proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. King Baby Duck here, and I'm actually surrounded by a couple of our good friends that have been on the show in the past. We've got the Fleming Brothers from Wicked Anime.
We're ready to strike.
Yes.
And I have 42 Believer from 42 Believer's Video Reviews.
Hello, this is me. I'm here. Now you can all...
Existing. You should see her exist.
You should... Oh my goodness. I do exist so wonderfully.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about a few things on this podcast episode. They're going to be featured basically throughout the show, not just one segment like in previous episodes. But I figured we're going to have a little bit of fun. There are a lot of topics that are on our minds.
Yes.
Oh, you were waiting for a response
topics.
There.
Yes.
There's so much to even
many
start
topics,
talking about.
So yes. so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But before we even do our topics, I figured let's play a song and then we can jump right into it. So remember, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, please buy their music and various other works. And you can find just about all these releases on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record stores. So we're going to start things off with the legendary Sex Machine Guns. And this is from their 2008 album, Cameron. And it's a rendition of a famous Japanese folk legend. It's called Urashima Taro. We'll be right back. with Sora El Miro from her 2003 album Shonen Alice. All the music on that album was composed by famous anime composer Yoko Kanno, who you've heard on the likes of Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, and Cowboy Bebop. And speaking of Cowboy Bebop, Shinichiro Watanabe's new anime Space Dandy is coming out soon, and it was just announced that it's going to be simulcast in America at the same time as it is in Japan, dubbed in English, played before it even airs in Japan.
It's amazing. There's only been one other anime that they've ever done that before with, and that was Bakugan Season 2. And the only reason I know that is because I like Bakugan.
This is amazing news for the anime community and, like, exposure for anime. It is just so important.
Because Shinichiro Watanabe basically has, like, opened the door to people to getting into anime. People will say, like, Cowboy Bebop was their gateway drug to anime because of the way it was stylized, the story, the characters. Mm. And I believe that he's going to be working his butt off to bring that that sort of vibe to Space Dandy, but more in a comedic sense.
You know, and the thing about this, too, is the dub has to be absolutely stellar. Because they don't have time to do it, so it has to be perfect.
Yeah.
The first time they, because I'm just so excited that this is an anime I can watch as it comes out legally. Like, I mean,
yes.
I mean, there's Crunchyroll. I mean, who knows if Crunchyroll is going to get it? Because I mean, it's going to be probably not because
Funimation's already got it.
Right.
And Funimation, and the sub will be streaming on Funimation.com.
Exactly. And but the fact that I can set my DVR to watch a new anime that's coming out is just incredible to me.
Like, that just doesn't happen. Like, you guys, it just doesn't happen. This is just so mind-blowing to me.
Not to mention that it's a good show to do it with. Like, I'm excited to see this show. It's not like, you know, some random show that's coming out. It's, oh my gosh, creator of Cowboy Bebop, what? It looks like Lupin the Third in space. Like, this is
a little bit
fun.
Of Red Dwarf in there.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something, because who do you think should play Dandy? Because I think there's only one person I can think of that would do an excellent job.
Well, I heard J. Michael Tatum?
Yeah.
H. John Benjamin.
I mean, I think J. Michael Tatum could definitely do it. He has the range.
He does have the range for it.
I've always been a fond of him. And especially if I know you guys haven't seen Steins Gate. But he does get really kind of crazy in Steins Gate. Just crazy, weird, like, and I love that about him. So, yeah, I think definitely J. Michael Tatum.
He's got that, like, deep voice kind of a thing going on, too. I just think it would be a good fit.
Yeah.
But it really depends on what they're planning on doing with the Japanese voice, whether they're going for a high-pitched voice or a deep voice like J. Michael Tatum's.
I see him being a more deep voice character, because he looks like he's going to be a badass who really isn't a badass.
I see it working.
That's why I'm saying H. John Benjamin, because when he's Sterling Archer, he can sound like a total badass, but he's really an idiot. And that's why I think he'd be great.
I'm just like, this is Funimation, so Funimation just better not pick Vic Mignogna. Because he's gunning for Eren Yeager for Attack on Titan.
Oh, really?
In fact, he wants to be Eren Yeager, and I'm like, please no.
Let me say this. I think he would do a good job as Eren Yeager, especially after hearing the voice in Attack on Titan Abridged. It's kind of a Vic Mignogna voice that they chose for it.
But they use him too much, so I just hope.
Actually, I don't think they haven't used him a lot recently.
Yeah, not lately. Not lately.
But I think it would just be a repeat of Ed.
No, I really don't think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Actually,
you're wrong!
Space Dandy!
Yeah, back to Space Dandy.
J. Michael Tatum, I don't think there's not many other voice actors that Funimation, I don't know, I can't think of anyone else that I would want. Because I know they have a couple aliens too, which I think they could plug Todd Haberkorn in one of those and be just fine.
Probably will. Yeah, probably the cat character.
Yeah.
I'm just not gonna.
Now, does the vacuum talk?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Oh my god! If the vacuum talks, John DiMaggio.
John DiMaggio.
Oh my god!
Inanimate objects with deep voices is funny.
Yeah.
Always funny.
You know what would be funny if it was a vacuum cleaner, but it wasn't a deep voice? If it was that one creepy guy, Jerry Jewell. He does a very creepy voice.
I'm not familiar.
He is one of the serial killers in in Fullmetal Alchemist.
Okay, so I have for the voice of Danny in Japan, Junichi Suwabe. And let me just pull him up and see what other roles he has been in. He plays Keigo Atobe in Prince of Tennis. He was in Bleach. He was Grimmjow in Bleach.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he was Greed in the first Fullmetal Alchemist. And he was Archer in Fate Stay Night, if that's... So, is this ringing a bell for anybody?
Well, I literally have not seen any of those characters.
Fate Stay Night. I don't want to talk about Fate Stay Night. No, none of those, none of the other ones are ringing a bell, really. But
I know what the characters are like.
Let me see. I'm just going through. Oh my, there is a lot of people he's played. He played Saime in Naruto. In One Piece, he was Virgo.
Keep on going.
I'm like, the big three, I'm like, no.
Vampire Knight, he was Akatsuki.
Vampire Knight is the Twilight of anime.
I like that you just looked at Sarah for that way and didn't even, like, bother to ask.
I don't watch Vampire Knight. I haven't seen a single episode, but I still know it's shit.
Did any of you ever watch Zombie Lone?
No. Nope.
Oh my gosh.
Like, none of these. What?
Sket Dance?
No.
Okay.
You saw Sket Dance?
I saw an episode.
Corona?
I don't know the names of the characters. I just figured out this
is a troll. He's like, yeah, I know that.
Alright, I'm giving up.
So it'll remain a mystery until it comes out.
It'll be a surprise.
It's a mystery.
So let's get back to the meat of the importance of it.
Oh!
Which is...
He played Vega in Street Fighter X Tekken.
Okay.
Wait, Vega as in M. Bison? Or Vega as in, Okay, so that's... Yeah, so Balrog. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Japanese Balrog, American Vega. Okay, mm-hmm. That makes more sense.
Yo!
So, it looks like... I didn't see too many females in there, but they'll probably plug someone like... not Caitlin Glass.
I think Brenna might be in somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Because she's... Because if Todd Haberkorn's not playing the cat, if the cat has a high squeaky voice, they'll do one of the females.
Brina would be amazing.
And it would be Brina.
It would be Brina. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about, oh my god, there was the one female who...
Oh, there is a female, Scarlet, so...
Yeah, I'm like guessing she's probably going to be like that ditzy female, and I'm guessing we're going to get Jamie Markey, and I'm going to like... That's going to be
Jamie
better.
Markey. It could be Jeremy.
It could be Monica Rial.
I would prefer Jamie Markey to Jeremy because I respect Jeremy as a voice actress, but I just can't stand her voice. I just can't do it.
What? She's so cute.
She's too cute. She's too cute for her own good.
She really talks like that. Okay. When we met her.
So here's my question. If with this whole thing with Space Dandy and everything, do you think this is a great step towards making Toonami relevant
absolutely
to the generation?
If people watch it, I'm setting my DVR to it almost immediately.
I will be in my campus dorm room in the just sitting there with my TV and going in the middle of the night because I don't have DVR, but I will be watching it.
set your alarm for it. Wake up, go back to sleep.
Because it's not like they're going to be putting it on like the ass crack of dawn, like they do with like Sword Art Online. They're putting this on at 11:30 p.m.
for like a new 5-hour block or something like that.
Yeah, or 4.5-hour block.
4.5-hour block. That's fucking awesome. Like anime has never made such leaps.
And it's not like SNL is doing well, so they don't have any competition.
Oh god.
Got them.
Strike when the time is right.
Yes.
My only concern is because, you know, it's Japan and production values and they only put it out, so like they're gonna have such a short amount of time to dub it.
Yep.
That I am so concerned that the dub might not be up to par and it might turn off someone.
And that's what they really have to aim for, is the dub has to be stellar.
Mm-hmm.
They have to make sure that their voice actors are there when they need them for the next 24 to 26
like
weeks.
You're on call, dude. Like, if it's the middle of the night and we get the episode, you're coming in right then.
Yeah.
Because I've heard
you will be paid and you will be happy.
And you will like it.
I'm pretty sure that the people that they're going to get, they're going to do a great job because they know this is Shinichiro Watanabe. They can't fuck this up because a shit ton of people will be so pissed off.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, so January can't come any sooner. I'm looking forward to this. I am stoked. it's gonna be feeling like I'm back in high school, watching all these cartoons, and it's being relevant, being cool again.
Racing home and watch Toonami. That's how I watch Dragon Ball every day in my childhood.
Yep, that's how I watch Outlaw Star.
Ooh, Outlaw Star. That's good anime.
Oh yeah, I'm so happy that Funimation's bringing that back too. All right. The next artist I'm going to be playing is named Lucy Wainwright Roach. She is the daughter of famed folk singer and humorist Langdon Wainwright III, and her recent tour with Nico Case just ended this last week. She'll be back in Boston on November 17th playing at Club Passim, so be sure to check her out. From her new album, There's a Last Time for Everything, and accompanied by Colin Malloy of the Decemberists, this song is called Seek It High.
I fell in love last year.
One last chance to seek it high.
Infinity with Fukamore, which a lot of you out there will recognize as one of the end themes for the original Inuyasha anime. You can find that track on their album Deep Forest, which is the literal translation of Fukamore. So, 42 Believer just stepped out for the moment, but we figured that would be a great time for the other guys here for us to talk about the recent event where we got to try the Oculus Rift, the VR peripheral. This is something that I got to play with at E3, blew me away. In fact, it was my pick of the show.
Yeah, we stepped into the future.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The future is now!
It was so much fun. Anybody who hasn't gotten a chance to try the Oculus Rift yet, but has always wanted to, it's exactly what you think it would be like. I mean, it was just so much fun putting on the goggles. I got disoriented the very first time I did it, but after that it was fine.
It's like, whoa, I'm in a new world!
Yeah, it's a new experience. It is a 100% new experience.
Yeah.
So are we going to just jump right into this?
I mean, sure, like, yeah. I mean, this is something that we all were very excited to be playing again. Well, me playing again. You guys, this is the first time we're trying it out.
And our network, the guys over at the Nerdy Show, are very jealous of us. Because, I mean, the interesting thing about the Oculus Rift, I mean, one of the things at the event where there were these two guys there who weren't a part of a company or anything like that. They just were there. They said, you know, here's the thing that we do, and we're just doing it for fun. No, nothing other than that.
Yep. It's a forest and leaves are falling. Yeah. Enjoy the serenity of it.
There was no controller. There was no nothing. You literally sat down on the couch and they put the goggles on you and you were sitting in the forest with, like, it was an infinite forest with leaves falling down, and you just could look 360 degrees around you, and that was enough.
I actually had a lot of fun watching the people go into it, too, because they didn't tell us what it was, they just said it's a simulation program, and so people would just sit on the couch and then zone out. They'd be, like, looking to the ceiling, and then, like,
around
look, yeah, turn, look around behind them, and it was just wild. They were like, you know, in the zone.
What is this place?
Floating
I am
around.
In my peace, serenity.
It's exactly what samurais see when they go, or ninjas in those old Japanese films where they go into their zen mode and they're in the zen gardens and sitting on the rocks. Exactly that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Well, I actually picture zen gardens when I try to go in my zone, but that's because maybe I'm just a foreigner to this whole Japan land. They can go to any zen garden any time of the day.
Right. We missed them here. Yeah, my favorite one, though, was probably the, was Ah.
Yes!
Because anybody who doesn't know, this is already an indie game that you can buy on Steam, right?
Yep, you can buy it on Steam, and you can buy it for your phone. I have the phone version on my iPhone and on my iPad. And, you know, the technical term for it is
Yeah, it's a free-fall game, and when you add the Oculus Rift to it, oh my gosh, it's just so, the game's trippy to begin with, that's what you said, Evan. And suddenly, you know, you put on the goggles and you have to look down at your feet over the edge.
Well,
and push yourself off the edge, and it's even crazier.
Well, which leads to another thing where we met a lot of people there. We just chatted with them. There were two guys that we met before the event. We were talking about, you know, game development and art and stuff like that. And one of them that we were talking to, what he said was he backed the Oculus Rift Kickstarter. And so he got his own system. So he's been using the Oculus Rift for over 300 hours already. And
wow.
Yeah. And so he was playing. He's played before. He went through all the demos in the room. Said, "Oh yeah, I've played all these." And I asked him which one was the best one. He said, "Ah was the best one." And he said he likes to play lying down. Like he said he will lie down like on his bed or in between two chairs to. Because it's a free fall game, so you have to look down to play it. So he said, "Lie down when you play it." And I was just like playing a video game lying on your face. That's incredible. You can never do that before.
Yeah,
I mean, like
you got to invest in a massage chair. And,
yeah,
oh gosh, that would be amazing.
You could probably find one on Craigslist for like $20,
right? Which actually leads me to what I mean. Yeah, I was the most fun to play. But, or at least out of the ones that I've played, I didn't try them all. Mm-hmm. The one that I was most excited about and happiest to play was not someone who was there
under the event. He was just a guy going to the Oculus Rift event who brought his own Oculus Rift. And
this is a helicopter guy, right?
Yes, James. His name was James. And he was a really cool guy. He was like super jacked too. He had big muscles and and just the nicest guy. And
you said he worked for security, and I said, yeah, he looks like a bouncer. No, he does security codes.
Yeah,
right.
And so he's developing this this helicopter thing where it's literally just a fly through, and you get to simulate. It's tough, you know, because it's actually like, you know, using helicopters.
Yeah, it took me a long time to figure it out.
And I just, you know, you're sitting in the helicopter cockpit, and you can, like, look around at the city and the buildings while you're flying. And I was just, after I took off the Oculus Rift, I was like, James, that was incredible. Like, I was blown away.
That's how I felt about EVR back when I played at E3, because when they put on the goggles and stuff, they have you look around, and you look, you can see to the left, you can see to the right, and when you look down, it looks like your body is right there in the cockpit.
Yeah, and I was so immersed in that, too, because I got to try it as well. I was so immersed in it that I was trying it so many times that I don't know who, but somebody tapped me on the shoulder to tell me that my time was up. So I...
Yeah, he told me my time was up, too.
Yeah, so. I was stuck in that world.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible that you can actually get that far into it. It's a completely different experience than playing just a regular video game, because... As I said in conversations personally with us before, you know, especially because they're making a lot of horror games for the Oculus Rift and stuff, you're in a world, you're wearing a horror game on your face.
Yep.
Like, you can't get away from that. You're wearing a horror game on your face.
Like, if you were able to use that for, like, Amnesia or Outlast or the upcoming Daylight video game, this would be perfect for the Oculus Rift.
And the other guy that I met there, whose name is... also James, we met a lot of Jameses, he said that he did play Outlast on the Oculus Rift, and he said, when I played it, it got a little too real.
Like, yeah.
He said the jump scares started turning into actual scares, and your body doesn't know how to handle that. Like, it can handle simulated one, like, while playing a video game, like, oh, that was scary. But, like, when it's a part of you, like, on your face, and you can't get away from it, he says it gets real. Like,
so, perhaps those sorts of horror games are best played when you actually have people there making sure you're okay.
Oh, dude, I told him, I was like, he said he wasn't a fan of horror games, but I was like, I am. I love horror games. That sounds right up my alley. It's just like, I don't know, man. I don't know if you're... I don't care. I would try that. Because that is amazing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the other games that we got to try out was from this company, or this one guy, Eric Asmussen, 82 Apps. It was, what do you call it? Disco Dodgeball.
It was called Disco Dodgeball, but the entire title was Robot Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball. I didn't get to play that one.
At first, it looked like it was a very simple premise. You know, grab the ball, hit the robots. It got tough.
Yeah, I was like, I saw everybody else play it. I was like, oh, this is going to be easy.
He's like,
and
no.
I got killed.
Yeah, I got killed like 4 times before I actually got one hit. It was like, yay, I finally got one. All right, now here comes 7 more. What?
Yeah, see, and I actually said that I like that wasn't my favorite game. However, I did like the mechanics in that one a lot better, because this one had a dot in the middle of the screen as a reticle, and the dot was just in the center of the screen, and it was like your aimer. And when you picked up a dodgeball, clicked down the mouse to charge up your throw, if you were like rolling forward and one was rolling across your screen, like a robot was rolling across your screen, you could follow it with your eyes as you keep rolling forward and throw the dodgeball, and even those...
You see, I didn't think of that while I was playing it.
Yeah, and that's where I was super impressed. You didn't have to turn the controller in order to do it. You just turned your eyes, and you were looking at it, and you threw it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing!
Because that's the one thing you still need to remember when playing the Oculus Rift, is you need to turn your head in order to see where you need to go.
And the first game that I played was Ectobox by
Pyromuffin.
Yeah, by Pyromuffin specifically.
And this,
the girl who was there, it was Kelly McNeil.
who was one of the developers, as well as the other guy that was there.
Yeah. Sadly, we forgot your name, good sir, but
I apologize. That was the very first time I ever put on an Oculus Rift. And so one of the things I did was, you know, I was moving forward and walking around, and I was just like, oh, you know what? I'm going to take a moment just to try it. You know, look this way, just to see what it looked like. You know, I've never played a game where, as I move my head, the game moved with me.
Yeah.
So, like, it was an experience. I'm walking around, and I'm, like, you know, looking around, and all of a sudden the path is gone. Like, I was like, oh, great. And then I hear somebody, you know, I hear the guy talking to me, he goes, there's a path to your right. And I was like, oh, yeah, there it is. And I turn my head, look over, and walk down it.
It was a really cool, like, it was like an interactive music visualizer, and I used to get lost looking at visualizers when they were like on the Windows Media Player or Real Player, but I love the fact that this one will actually, you know, immerse you in the world of the music that you're playing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you got to talk to him too much, but he said that he had lost the original code for that game, so now he's currently rebuilding it.
Wow.
Holy crap.
He reformatted his hard drive by mistake.
Oh, no.
Oh, that is like a terrible mistake. It's just... I wouldn't even imagine losing all that kind of stuff.
Moving on, though. Next one we tried was Gimbal Cop and Case of the Objectionable Hypercorrection.
Yes. And this was something I played at Boston Fig a couple of years ago when it was, you know, just your iOS phone sort of game. And they're still working on that as we speak. But this is really cool because it gives you that option of playing sort of like a virtual reality version of that old Atari game Snake.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you were in a 3D globe. And you were just in a minecart like a cart of some sort that floated in 3D space that created like a tentacle behind you, and you had to collect these barrels that made you go faster, and you left this trail that you couldn't crash into, which was really funny because I could not get the hang of it for the life of me. So
it took a couple of tries before I finally figured out what I needed to do. It was like, whoop, go left here, let's go right there,
I would have to play the Oculus Rift by myself, I think, because I found myself just sitting there too many times going, ah! Ah! And that's what I mean, that I was thinking about was, one of the things that absolutely stunned me is you can get an Oculus Rift still. They're still selling them for $300.
This is just the standard edition. This is the 1080p one.
Yeah, the 1080p ones are still in development, so you can get a 720p one. But you can get one for $300, and all the games are, because they're all beta and download-based, they're all free, which is incredible. Like, you know, you just have to have, you know, the Rift set up, and you can
a
play
good PC and
yeah, PC it runs on everything, PC, yep. Mac, and Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to the Oculus forums and download games that people are building.
Yeah,
and you can play whatever you want. I just thought that was absolutely interesting.
It can integrate the Unity engine.
Yeah, Unity.
They said Unity, Unreal,
CryEngine,
mm-hmm. CryEngine, almost any engine, really.
Yeah. I think the Source Kit, because you can play Half-Life and Team Fortress on it as well.
Yeah.
And one of the other things that we heard talking or a lot of talk going around about was that, you know, you can build anything you want in these engines because the hyper-realistic games don't fly on the Oculus Rift. The more unrealistic it looks, the better the game quality usually is.
Which we were talking about with that guy, and he said that some of the games that he's tried, some of the best ones he's played were the ones that have an anime manga style to them.
Nice.
Because the characters are so simple that the game runs smoother, and it looks nicer. Like, it looks nice. And that's what I was telling him, because everybody there was a programmer or a developer. I'm an artist. I work on the art side of it. And that's what I was telling him. I was like, yeah, not everything has to look realistic to be good. As long as the art is appealing, it will be good. And anime is one of those art styles, maybe not to everybody, but to me, is 100% appeal. Like, it's very appealing to me.
So, yes. So a game that looks like that, I'll absolutely play a game like that, you know?
Me too!
Well, it's something that made something like that that Zen thing, you know, that you just put the goggles on and look at the leaves fall.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't hyper-realistic or anything. As a matter of fact, the tree trunks were something out of a...
Salvador Dali.
Like a Salvador Dali painting. You look up and the trees are like all snake-like and going up and... I even looked to the side of me and I could see one of the artist's seams
seam
going through them. Anybody who doesn't know that, it's where you can see the tree...
The texture
meet from one side to the other because it's laid out flat. But even still sitting in there, it was just like, this is nice, you know? The only thing that it was missing was a soundtrack. If there was some, like... sound effects or some serene music playing, it would have just been, I could have fallen asleep to it.
All right, so maybe our final thoughts on Oculus Rift, where do you see it going? Because I think this has the real potential of being the next big thing in gaming.
There's nothing bad about it.
No, that is seriously, and one of the things I was talking about with James was looking at all these games that were coming out. They're all simple. It's because for virtual reality, this is the Pong stage.
Yes.
This is Pong. Everybody is rebuilding Pong. So I can only imagine that as this goes 10 years from now, in 10 years we went from Sega Genesis to 360.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine Oculus Rift from you know, Dodgeball, yeah, and to 10 years from now, it's going to be a full virtual reality system.
Yeah.
We're going to be literally...
Sword Art Online.
Yeah, Sword Art Online. We're going to be literally...
So long as it doesn't become Sword Art Online.
Right. We're going to have, like, people hooked up to IVs so they can be there forever, having their bodies fed and nourished while they sit in virtual reality playing with each other
and slowly
dying.
Get their brains fried.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, Oculus Rift is something that I'm really cheering for. It's going to be going a lot of great places, and I believe that this is going to be something that all the other companies, even Sony has said that they love the Oculus Rift, and it's rumored that it might actually work with the PS4.
Oh my gosh. No, I am 100% all about Oculus Rift. It is going to be, once it gets out of the Pong stage, it's going to be one of the best things to happen to the gaming industry.
And I couldn't agree more. All right, so why don't we play some more music, and hopefully by that time, 42 Believer will come back and rejoin us.
Wherever you are, come back!
Here's a B-side from 9mm Parabellum Bullet. It's from their single for Supernova. It's called Wild Pitch. We'll be right back. not to be confused with the J-pop singer, this is the actual anime theme song from Serial Experiments Lane, which is once again available thanks to the dudes over at Funimation. Did any of you ever watch that show?
No, but I know it's creepy.
I really want to watch it, but I haven't watched it yet.
I got a really big Boogie Pop Phantom vibe off of it. You know, kind of just something that's like, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
I heard it's really, really screwed up, and that enough on its own just makes me really interested.
Yep. Yeah. That's how I got into the show. But anyway, it's the midway point of the show, which means it's time for our friend Sawa to fill your brains with Japanese knowledge. Are you guys ready for some Japanese language skills?
Teach me, Miss Lychee.
Sensei, I need to know more.
Hi.
So let's go to her first segment, Sawa Sensei's Naza Nazo Nihongo.
Minasan, konnichiwa. Hello everyone, welcome back to Sawa Sensei's Naza Nazo Nihongo. And here's Sawa speaking from Tokyo, Japan. So, these past weeks I had a chance to ask my English native friends who live in Tokyo. One of my friends just came to Tokyo about a week before and just started his new life here. He doesn't speak much Japanese and now he is trying to pick up the language very enthusiastically. The point is that I wanted to know what do they, the newcomers, consider as an interesting or very often used Japanese for the conversation in Japanese society. So, today, I'd like to introduce two words that I heard from one of my Australian friends who just came to Tokyo. The question I asked was, what is the most useful or that you hear quite often as a common Japanese expression after you start living here? He told me that he only knew very few words so far, but he already had quite a lot of vocabularies after only a few weeks since he arrived. The first word I'd like to introduce today is arigato, and it means thank you. But in Japanese, there are several ways to express politeness, like sonkeigo, term of respect, or teineigo, polite language, or kenjogo, humble language. So there are variations just to say thank you in Japanese. But let's just skip the business level expressions and stick onto the daily life conversational level. I hear from many of my foreigners' friends who had surprising experiences in the convenience stores, bookstores, post office, or even in the big shopping mall. When you get the stuff, you go to the register and pay the bill. I know this is very common flow all around the world. I mean, it's almost exactly the same how we buy stuff at the stores, right? But in Japan, you always hear from the register person saying, "Domo arigatou gozaimashita," after buying your stuff and paying the bill. And it's said like this in 99% happening anywhere in Japan. It's something to show the respect and thank for choosing their store to do the shopping, and as part of the hospitality, should I say. Maybe some have seen the news when the Tokyo Olympic game had decided. There was a person named Crystal Takigawa, one of the ambassadors from Japan to realize the Tokyo Olympic, was explaining about omotenashi, the hospitality mind of Japan. I guess this domo arigatou gozaimashita at the cash register is part of the custom in Japan. So, in the case of the person at the register, they are saying domo arigatou gozaimashita in the past tense to thank you that you bought something at their store. And the present tense of this polite way to say thank you is domo arigatou gozaimasu. Could you find the difference between domo arigatou gozaimasu and domo arigatou gozaimashita? Yes, it's only the last part. Nantoka nantoka masu and nantoka nantoka mashita. Blah 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 masu, like arigatou gozaimasu, is used for the present tense to thank what just happened. Maybe in a situation like somebody completely unknown helped you catch the dropped orange on the way you're coming back from the grocery shopping on the street. And blah 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 mashita, like arigatou gozaimashita, is used for the past tense to thank what happened in the past. Say, maybe you happen to meet the same person again on the street who helped to gather the scattered orange the other day. And if that person who handed you back those oranges were your close friend, you only simply say, arigato, without mas or mashita. It's too polite to say to your friend. Or, in case you really want to thank you to your friends, it's okay to use that arigato gozaimasu. But I think usually we don't. We just say arigato with your emotion in it. And the second common word that's been used a lot in Japan that my friend told me is kakkoi. Kakkoi. Have you heard of it? Before explaining this word, I'd like to start with a similar expression that is a little more girly. Because I guess this other word is more popular around the world, maybe. Have you heard the word kawaii? Kawaii. It means pretty, cute, or sweet, or lovely, or darling, something like that. And girls, even grown-up adults, are sometimes so addicted to this word. Because you can use this word to phrase anything. Just anything. Like person, color, food, shape, sound, etc. Just anything. There even was a magazine named Kawaii or S Kawaii, and this S stands for the sister. It's a fashion magazine focused on J-Gal fashion and culture for like kawaii stuff, like cute stuff. And still today, this magazine is sold in China or Taiwan. In Japan, Kawaii magazine is not on sale anymore, but this sister kawaii, S Kawaii, is taking place for more grown-up fashion targeted age between like 18 to 23 or something. So, kawaii can be used like this. For example, kawaii hito. Kawaii hito means person. Or kawaii ohana. Ohana is a flower. And kawaii koe. Koe means voice. And kawaii ringo. Like ringo is apple. So kawaii apple. Or kawaii inu. Like cute dog. Inu. Kawaii inu. Dog. Or could be used like kawaii ketai. Cute cell phone. Or like this. Just anything. And here I'd like to introduce a little track of Japanese classic that you can hear using this kawaii refers to ringo, ringo, apple. It's singing about an apple that speaks nothing but just so adorable. Maybe it's reflecting the heart of the main character that keeps silence but having a lot of feeling and emotion inside but for some reason not speaking it out. This song was written by Sato Hachiro and composer Tadashi Manjome, featured within the 1945 Japanese movie Soyokaze. Soyokaze means breeze. Then let's take a listen to Ringo no Uta, Song of the Apple. That's the classic sound. So let's go back to another friendly expression, kakkoi. And it means cool or chill. And this is another common expression, but is mainly used for a little more guyish stuff. But it can be used for girls too. Just we don't have magazine named kakkoi, but but you can use this word to describe its coolness, like かっこいい人, かっこいい person, or かっこいい声, cool voice, かっこいい携帯, cool cell phone, or かっこいい車, cool car, or かっこいい犬, like a cool dog. I like that. By the way, I am a female, but I'd be flattered if somebody tells me after my live performance something like, your singing style is so かっこいい. I feel like, yes. I am not an idol, more to the rock style singer, so I'd be appreciate hearing かっこいい for my performance, but I'm not really used to hearing somebody saying, you're かわいい to me, so I'll be blushed probably if somebody says so, but still it's compliment, so I'd be happy to hear such words too. So kawaii and kakkoi is both very positive expression to describe whatever you like, so if you ever hear kakkoi ne or wa kawaii ne, that means you've been praised. By the way, this something something ne expression is also very often used in speaking Japanese conversations. There are two meanings, and one is to have common idea, feeling, and emotion in a tag question form. Something like, isn't it? Or didn't you think so? And second meaning is to give a guess to attract attention with a light emphasis. Something like, I suppose, or you see, or you know, kind of thing. So, let's summarize the words that I've been talking about today. The first word is arigato, and its polite way to say the word in present tense is どうも arigatou gozaimasu. And past tense, it changed the last part, like どうも arigatou gozaimashita. Simply add どうも to make it polite, and something something must present tense, or something something mashita means past tense. And the second word is かっこいい and かわいい. かわいい means cute or adorable, and かっこいい means cool. So, okay, I guess that's all for today, and let's talk about some more expressions next week. それじゃあまた来週で! See you on the next! Bye-bye!
Arigato, Sawa-sensei! Now, remember, listeners, if there's a specific phrase or something you would like to learn on Sawa-sensei's Nazo Nazo Nyango, be sure to write to us at thebastards@bossandbashbrigade.com with the subject line, Ask Sawa-sensei, and hopefully Sawa will be able to help you out. Now, let me ask you guys something. Is there something that you would like to learn in Japanese or something about the culture?
That's a really loaded question.
There's so much to want to know about the culture, I just can't even comprehend.
I know, it's so hard to pick off of the 101 thing. You have to give me some time to think about that.
He's like, oh, deer in headlights, oh, shit. Yeah.
I'll take down the email address and I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
Do they like food?
Yeah. Does this one like to eat?
What is the obsession with maid cafes? Just kidding, maid cafes are amazing.
They are cool. They are awesome. We should have more out here.
Yes, we should.
We should.
We should.
We should.
Yes.
Let's buy one.
Let's start one up.
Yep.
I'll put on a maid costume. I'll run it.
It's just the only one.
The only one. I can do the entire thing, guys. I swear.
The maid cafe.
Maid cafe.
Singular.
Yes. I'll have cat ears too.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah. Oh god.
Okay. Now how about a little rock from the legendary 5678s? This was the band that you saw in the movie Kill Bill Volume 1. This is from their 1996 EP, Bomb the Twist. It's called Guitar Date.
I wanna babies all night long.
guitar. I wanna play with all I love. Some of my guitar dead. Some of my
from their Abyssal EP, that was Envy with All That's Left Is Gone to Sleep. And the four of us just got back from Rhode Island Comic Con. I didn't even know they had a Comic Con until these guys brought it up.
Yeah, every state seems to have their own Comic Con now, so...
Everybody has one.
Yeah.
When are you getting one, Sarah?
Oh, excuse me. Ohio has OhioCon, so there's that.
That's an anime con.
Not
but
same
don't
thing.
You have the Canterlot Gardens there, too?
I have literally zero idea. I'm like, what the fuck? maybe? Yes.
So I've been to anime conventions, I've been to Vegan conventions. This is the first time I've ever gone to a comic book convention.
Really?
Yeah. Technically my first Comic Con, and it was actually everything that I initially thought Anime Boston was going to be. Like, when I first heard Anime Boston, I just expected just one big room, one giant, like, you know, all the different booths and everything, and then just the different areas where you can meet the stars and stuff. And basically, that's what Rhode Island Comic Con was.
And that's where Jonathan and I were really well-versed, because we went to MegaCon originally in Florida. We've been to MegaCon a couple times. And that's what it is. It's a con that's basically a giant dealer's room.
Yeah. The way that comic book conventions work, they're not very content-heavy. They just bring everything to you. And, you know, you just enjoy
you
being
approach
in the atmosphere. So there's not too many panels. There were 10, like, in the entirety of the day at Rhode Island.
I would say an entire weekend. With all the ones that were canceled.
Yeah, some did get canceled.
Yeah, but we saw a Power Rangers one, which was amazing. You know,
that was fun.
But, yeah. That was a lot of fun.
That was amazing seeing Bulk and Skull again. Well, that's my first time seeing them in person. Yeah. And we grew up on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I mean, forget them, Rita. Like,
Rita Repulsa.
Never truly appreciate Rita Repulsa until you meet Barbara herself and hear her do the voice.
It is quite spectacular. I was just like, oh my god,
and for her to be able to do it on the spot, it's not like she has to go,
yeah.
Grow! Magic wand! Make my monster grow!
Alright, now that all of your listeners' ears are bleeding, let's talk about what the main content is, which is the dealer's room that has, you know, all of the...
Everything.
Yeah, it has comic book booths, gaming, anime...
But they didn't have the anime DVD booths. We were looking all over the place.
Bootlegs. Unless you wanted the bootlegs.
Yeah, they had like three bootleg stands.
See, and I was so tempted, but I didn't bring. This was because I want to save all my con fun for Anime Boston, like I do every year. And they just had so many nice DVDs there that I could have picked up. You know, they had all of Sailor Moon in Japanese and all of Battleship Yamato. It was just amazing. So beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the DVDs that I did pick up, though, was Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Which is the Japanese Spider-Man TV show, live action. And that is absolutely amazing.
He has a giant robot.
He does have a giant robot.
It's like they took Stan Lee's idea and was like, now how can we make it even more Japanese? Boom! Giant robot.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Now, if they could actually put that in the next amazing Spider-Man movie.
that would be spectacular. Yeah, I'm all for that.
They had a whole lot of stuff to do there. I mean, they had one side of the room was Artist Alley, the other side was celebrities. And we got to meet a whole bunch of celebrities, you know, or at least visually see them at their booth and seeing them talk to fans, because most of them you had to pay to see.
Yeah, Andrew, you might as well fanboy out right now.
I actually met Larry Kenny, which is my dream person to meet, who, if you don't know who Larry Kenny is, he is the voice of Lion-O, the original Lion-O from the 80s series.
Thunder!
So, not only did I meet him and have him sign my wallet for me, my Thundercats wallet, I asked him, and he agreed to interview. So, this is, right here, you're hearing it now, a preview on the Boston Bass Brigade show. or No Borders, No Race, that there is an interview of me and Larry Kenny. I sit down with him, and I chat with him, and we do a Jackalman impression together. Like, it's just amazing. Like,
at least your interview went well. I was trying to interview this Rancor.
You know what? When an interview was fantastic, all the little kids I got to interview who were so cute dressed up in costumes!
All this content will come later on our show.
You will see!
Yeah. It'll be amazing.
So I met Larry Kenny, and I was the only one in line. He showed up, you know. I was just like, sorry for keep you waiting, and I was just like, you're Larry Kenny. And, like, and that's basically how that started out. And so that was I could not stop smiling. That was a high I had to come off of after I was done with that. So thank you, Rhode Island Comic Con.
Yay! Now let's look at this awesome little doll that
you haggled for.
That I haggled for because it was a set of 5 dolls from On the Third, and they are literally like dolls. Like, they aren't figurines. There's a difference. There's a big difference.
And this is what, you know, she got them for $55, originally for $85.90. I went online to see if I could find how much they initially cost. They're not anywhere to be found.
1997! I was 2 years old!
I gotta point out that they all have Woody from Toy Story legs.
Yes!
They do.
Yes!
They
basically
do.
If you took Woody the cowboy and make him live in the third dolls.
And yet. And then, you know, they have, as Sarah keeps saying, yaoi hands.
They do! Look how fucking big the hand is!
Well, that's just how Monkey Punch drew the characters.
I don't care, that's still a yaoi hand, for all intents and purposes.
And it's hairy and everything.
And yeah, they got the details of the hair all on the back of the hand on it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this thing's amazing.
Yeah.
I fucking love it.
You see, I'm looking to see if anyone has ever made, like, a replica of his Walther P-38. Because I love that gun he has.
Well, if anyone has found it out, Ban Presto, 1997, made in China, email me at 42Believer and tell me how much these are actually worth.
42Believer at
gmail.com.
Yeah, that's probably very important that people know that. Yeah.
It's too early for shameless plugs.
Too early. Alright, sorry. Alright.
So in our adventures there, you know, we met a whole bunch of other people. We saw the guys of the Geek Generation.
Geek Generation. Yes.
Geek Generation.
They were very nice people. They were really cool.
They were working awesome.
I was ready to chat with anyone. It was really nice.
Yeah, so we had a nice chat with them, gave them our card.
Yeah, they said that they had recorded 2 episodes, but they were already there.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so check them out, guys. They're some cool guys over there.
Yeah, seriously.
And then another gentleman we met by the name of Frankie Panzerino. He also is doing a Comic-Con in New Jersey.
Jersey Comic-Con.
What?
Is it Jersey Comic-Con?
Jersey Comic-Con. If you go to jerseycomiccon.info, you can find out all the info for him, and he's also on Facebook at Jersey Comic-Con.
I wonder if he'll get, like, the Toxic Avenger.
If you think you're interested in that, you should look it up.
Yeah, if you find yourself in the New Jersey area, absolutely. He is also a part of TV Treasure Chest. So TV's Treasure Chest is where you can find all of his merchandise as well.
Just to add, the con is going to be the first con this year. I think this is his first one, right? The first time he's running.
I'm not sure. December 13th to the 15th.
Yeah. So it's at the end of this year, just a month.
Check him out too, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's seeing the people cosplay and everything. I was excited because there was this really cute girl who was as Yoko from Gurren Lagann.
And she was like Anime Boston as well.
Yeah.
Don't forget about that guy who was actually at your panel.
Well, I mean, we were eating lunch, and these guys just started talking to us about stuff, and then we handed them over our cards, like, oh, check us out. And one of the guys sitting there was like, were you at Anime Boston? Because I recognize this Nerdy Show tag. And we're like, yeah. He's like, did you guys run the hardcore anime panel? Yeah. He's like, I was there!
I'm your biggest fan!
That's so cool. It's like, you guys could have met your fan, and I'm like, I wish I could have met. Yeah.
I think in my entire life, I've only met like 2 people that have actually listened, that I know of, that have listened to B3 and all that. So it's cool meeting people out of the blue that have heard of you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's never something you get used to. Yeah. So that was a really cool experience. We met a lot of really cool and nice people.
Yeah, and speaking of the cosplayers themselves,
There were a lot of them there. The past Comic-Cons that I've been to didn't have as many. The costuming was not as prevalent as it was at this panel.
There was a lot more of a younger audience there.
Yeah.
A lot of young kids dressing up. Not just, it wasn't just adults.
I think that's a good thing, because it speaks to the popularity that anime is still popular and relevant. And
that little girl just says Starfire.
Oh my gosh, like,
like, it was like, oh, the most amazing, like, it was like Teen Titans TV show Starfire.
Yeah.
Like, this little girl.
The best Teen Titans.
Yeah, and it was just like, oh my gosh, that's so cute. Like, like,
oh my god, just little kids in cosplay is just adorable. If you're going to a Comic-Con and you have kids, make them dress up in cosplay, because it just makes people like me happy. Oh, it's just so cute.
But all together, I think we had a great time at Rhode Island Comic Con.
Yep, absolute success. I would absolutely agree that Rhode Island Comic Con is a success.
Yeah.
Probably not my favorite convention, but I will definitely go back.
Yeah, even though I left the thing empty-handed, because someone had a Chuck doll from Penny and Stocking, the garter belt, and I was like, did you get that here? He was like, yeah, it's at this booth. And I walk over to the booth, and it's like, oh, do you have Chuck? Like, we just sold the last one.
That's what we should do real quick in the last minute that we can do this, is talk about the merchandise that we picked up.
Yes.
So I picked up this little Chibi Mikasa from Attack on Titan, because she's my waifu, and and it was just, I couldn't, like, it was the first booth we even went to. I walked in, and I was just like, found it. Found what I want. And then, of course, I bought Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
And I got a Triforce, Legend of Zelda Triforce decal for the back of my car, because I have a new car now, and my old car, it left with that one. I'm really sad.
So I have the 5 Lupin the Third figurines, and I also have a Sound of the Sky figurine that I absolutely love. So
really well sculpted.
Yeah, this is a good figurine.
Yeah, it's really cool.
They did have a Madoka Magica one there that I almost got.
But it was broken.
It was broken, but that doesn't matter to me, because it's been open before.
Okay, so hopefully next year we can check out Rhode Island Comic Con.
Absolutely.
What the hell was that?
That's the sound that plays when the thing ends. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Oh, that's okay. All right.
I'm so
sorry. Let's go back to some music. Here's one of my favorite bands from the UK, The Go Team, from the 2007 album Proof of Youth. It's called Doing It Right.
Take it to the gym, Billy Chucky. Come on and show me that you
Luminous Orange with the title track from their 2002 album, Drop Your Vivid Colors. They were mainstays at the South by Southwest Festival for many years, but I haven't seen them on the roster for a while. Hopefully they'll pop again, you know, sometime in the near future. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode. My thanks to the guys over at 42 Believer and Wicked Anime.
The girls over at Wicked Anime and the boy at 42 Anime.
I'm sorry about that.
This is a Gender Swap episode. Gender Swap fan fiction, no borders or race.
Coming soon to a fan fiction near you.
Yes. So, remember, for the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can follow us on www.b3crew.com. And if you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have something for our favorite little Japanese teacher, Sawa-sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade, and we are on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com.
It's a mouthful.
Yes. So guys, promote your stuff.
I'll go first. I'll just do the Wicked Anime ending. Alright guys, if you want to contribute, maybe you want to contribute to some of the conversation with us at Wicked Anime, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also follow us on facebook.com/wickedanime, where we have frequent updates on anything going across the Wicked Anime net. You can follow us on Tumblr, wickedanime.tumblr.com, where we have frequent fun posts from our person Victoria, our lady person Victoria. And then, of course, you can find our podcast and all of our reviews also featured at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime.
All right, and I guess that hands it off to me. You can find me at 42believer@gmail.com. You can also find me at 42believer on Twitter, 42's Anime Reviews on Facebook, 42believer.tumblr.com if you're going on Tumblr, and I suggest you do so. Tumblr's amazing. And if you are a fan of Podtaku, I am also a member of JTaku, their podcast on YouTube, so you should definitely check that out and give me a subscribe.
I forgot the most important one, which is our YouTube.
I'm like, you forgot your YouTube.
Say it.
YouTube.com/WickedAnimeReviews.
Excellent. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show again. I hope we can do it again in the near future.
Absolutely.
This will be so amazing.
Yes, so let's end the show with some Triceratops. And this is from the album Made in Love, which was number 2 on my top Japanese albums of 2008 list, back when I used to do separate ones. Oh, back in the old days when they used to do that. This song is called Future Folder. Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Jonathan, stupid awesome analyst.
And hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
40 foot 2 believer, also known as Sarah.
Reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
掴み取る。